You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Welcome to the Two Old Dolphins Podcast, a proud member of the Dolphin Talk Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Alex Symes and me, Scott Quiggle. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. How are you doing today, Alex?
As good as possible.
All right. Well, I guess that's a positive.
It sure is. I think
it's been three games since we've done our sort of traditional style of podcast for various reasons, and one of those really good reasons will fit into our personal segment. We went to Miami. So although the reason for going may not have ended up being a good thing, you know, I mean, we'll talk about it.
I got my headband on, man.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, they gave us the game, headbands for everybody, and I'm all psyched, man. I got it on. It was a great trip. I loved it.
Yeah, well, most of it. They put that, you know, they were handing them out as we were walking in. I'm like, what is this? Is this like a face mask?
I thought it was a face mask, too.
Yeah. Is it an armband? Is it, I don't know, what the heck is this thing?
I don't know. I like it, man. It's really cool. And it was a hell of a trip. You want to get into it a little bit? What happened down there?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I like the fact that we got down there, and we've always been talking about doing this trip down to Miami, right?
Mm-hmm. For 25 years, basically.
Yeah, and this time we got to go out there and got to experience a little bit of the heartbeat of the city, which everybody seems to be, you know, kind of, I don't know, negative, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we talked to people everywhere we went. And not just the people we were with, but, I mean, servers and people we're standing in line with. And, you know, especially anyone that had Dolphins or Hurricanes gear on or anything.
Yeah,
because
we knew
that
for sure they weren't natives when they had the Dolphin. We saw those guys at Versailles, which for anybody who doesn't know, that's like the epitome, the number one Cuban restaurant in probably the world. I would venture to say more people visit that place. Yeah. Wow. More people visit that restaurant than any restaurant in Cuba. I can tell you for a fact. This really is a great place. And we were in line there in Versailles, and we saw some like four people dressed in Dolphin gear, and I approached them. And
where are they from? Like North Carolina?
North Carolina. Yeah. Very knowledgeable, very nice people. And they went on to tell me about their feeling, and they were definitely against our current administration, let's put it that way.
Well, that's not the first time we've heard that.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. But the trip itself, Scott, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I think that you got a chance to meet a lot of my buddies these guys I've known since first grade. And at the beginning, I was always a little.
Yeah, elementary school buddies.
Elementary, man. I was like, yes. Oh, God, Scott's going to. But I knew that these are such cool guys that they would accept you and you would have fun. And it was a blast. It was interesting meeting those guys, huh? Lorenzo.
It was. And, you know, I was chatting with my wife prior to, I don't know, specifically prior to that particular event. She's like, are you okay? Are you feeling like a third wheel? And it must have been after that because I was like, no. In fact, you know, I might have been worried about it a little, like not stressed or anything, but the result was I had great conversation with everyone around me, and you know, they were cool to me, and I was glad to meet them, and it was interesting. It was good. So
yeah, it was awesome. We met with Lorenzo Peniche, who was a diehard Hurricane, and the guy who gave us the tickets I bought the tickets from him, but he gave it to me at face value, which is like almost a gift to the national championship game of the Hurricanes that we saw.
Oh, right. The Rose Bowl way back.
Way back in 2001.
Only national championship I've ever been to. So
yeah, I've been to a couple, but let's not talk about the other one. But Peniche gave me also, you know, sold me those tickets at face value. He's a great guy. Everyone was there, you know, Peniche, Rolando Alvarez, Rudy Diaz. I mean, all these really, really cool guys that you got a chance to say hi to and meet. And I really enjoyed that evening. I enjoyed going out with you to South Beach.
Yeah, that we had a blast at South Beach.
That was, it was weird, yeah. South Beach, man, because we got there and we thought the whole place was like, they were filming. I told you, they got to be filming something. The streets are closed. It's got to be.
We didn't understand why they were closed.
Yeah, it was the pandemic, man.
Yeah, I guess it's been that way the whole time. They blocked off the streets in order to be able to have, you know, street dining. Right?
Yeah, and I'm talking about outdoor dining. I'm talking to the natives, and they're like, "Are you sure it's closed?" I'm like, "From Ocean Avenue, the whole Ocean Boulevard," and I'm like, "Yeah, man, it's closed." And then I realized they don't go down there.
Yeah,
nobody goes down there. It's really weird.
It is weird.
It's really strange. But we went to Monty's, what we used to call Monty Trainers, and that's like the most iconic kind of like, really, I think that bar it's just the feel of the Miami feel, you know?
Yeah.
It's a cool bar.
What was the name of that bartender that we met in South Beach? Ukrainian girl?
I have no idea, man. you're the one with the Ukrainian background. I could probably not. I probably would butcher her name anyway. You know.
Yeah, I just.
But she was fun, and
she was a lot of fun.
She made the whole.
She made our time there.
She made our
in the
time
downpour, there. Lightning storm, everything.
That was wild, huh?
Yeah, it was
all
crazy.
That rain, and then, yeah, of course we got to thank Corch Andy again for his
for
hospitality and
yes.
being such a cool guy,
and his wife for cooking meals for
us.
Oh
my God, those meals! I mean, I ate
almost exclusively Cuban food while I was down
well,
there.
Well, that's what you do when you're in Rome, man. You do it like the Romans.
Okay. I mean, I wanted to experience everything.
Well,
but
that happens. That
just
is
takes
everything.
More time, I guess.
That is everything. Now yeah. it was.
Oh, we did
it
eat the
great.
Big cheese, which was also
the big cheese
pretty
pizza,
good pizza.
That place was fun and a lot of cheese. Jeez, that's what they call it, the big cheese. And then the game, you know, I know it's you know, my brother came down from Cape Coral for the game. That was, for me, it was very special to actually be able to see a game with him, because I had not seen a football game with him in person since 1979, 1980, something like that.
Wow.
So it's a long time, man.
Yes.
It's a long time. So that was really cool to do that, and so the whole trip to me, except for of course our Dolphins not cooperating, was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they cooperated right up to the last minute of the game.
Not really, they were screwing up.
Yeah,
early.
I know. There was a lot of things during the. I mean, we didn't cover the Atlanta game, and we didn't even take notes while we were sitting there.
There's no point. I mean, it was us seeing Pitts doing what he should be doing for us, and you know, it was a rough game to watch. For me, it was watch. And we got to mention Calvin.
Well, it's a highlight of the comment you made last week,
mm-hmm.
though, that the team has not given up. This team has not given up.
No, they won't give up. I think the team hasn't given up on Flo.
They took the lead with a minute left in the game. I mean, that's
and they did it
battling
again
to the very end.
When we covered the Buffalo game, they sort of played a very hard game. Most of the game.
Yeah, they just made a lot of mistakes, and then...
So they start forgetting how to cover Beasley, and I don't know. It always happens. Like, last game, where the Pitts, all of a sudden, we couldn't stop them, double-teamed or whatever.
Right.
So it seems like every game we have that little defensive breakdown.
Yeah.
That really hurts.
Yeah, when we count on the defense the most, their hands are on their hips already because all of the three and outs have worn them down. That's my opinion anyway.
The lack of running game, the lack of controlling the clock. Well, sometimes we control the clock, and it's unexplainable. Miami finds ways to lose right now.
It seems like that, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Every single week in and week out, we're not finding a way to win, we're finding a way to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, so speaking about our fun team, I know there's going to be a special segment that we're going to be doing.
Yeah, hang on. We've got a new segment we're going to introduce.
Mm-hmm.
It's a special, and probably just insert it right in the middle of covering the Buffalo game. But first,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to say to anyone listening, if you have not listened to the podcast that we published last week, go listen to that one. It's going to be relevant for this entire season. It's not focused on... a particular time frame, and we got together with Fin Fans Podcast,
mm-hmm.
Mike and Lewis, and we had a blast.
And Scott, not only did I have a blast, but I've had more positive comments on that podcast of people saying, "God, you're speaking for us." I mean, I sent it to all those guys that we had I don't know, whatever dinner with, whatever it was, mm-hmm. a couple of drinks, cocktails. Their comments is 100% spot on. Everyone that's heard it, that's gotten back to me, is the same comment. And particularly one thing that Lou said, that when we traded back, he expected us to get a lineman, an offensive lineman, and then, you know, get G. Harris with our 18th pick, and then we would protect Tua. And boy, that resonated with a lot of guys. They said, boy, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. That would have been it would have been a very smart move.
Right. Because if we were going number one wide receiver, we should have stayed right where we were at and got the future Megatron.
Yeah.
Ja'Marr Chase. But I know that people listen to the podcast regularly, got to be tired of hearing that, but I can't get it out of my craw. It's stuck there.
It's hard, man. So. It's really hard. But then, meanwhile, should we jump into the Buffalo game?
Sure.
Okay. Well, we all expected this to be a rout, right? Or that we're going to lose. That we weren't going to be competitive.
That we were going to lose, that it wasn't going to be very competitive. You know, they curb stomped us at the end of the year last year. They mm-hmm. curb stomped us in Miami at the first time we met them this year. Who was to expect anything different than what we've already seen?
And they were coming off a bye, and we were coming off a loss against a bad team, and everything spelled Miami going to get their butts kicked, and we played them toe-to-toe there for the first half.
Yes. The defense in particular was playing very well.
Okay. Should we mention what Howard said? Because I got to figure out what the hell that meant.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Howard said we got back to what we were doing last year.
With the play calling.
With the play calling.
So, which means defensive scheme, essentially.
But what the hell's he... on the eighth game of the season?
Yeah, well, eight games later, what...
When we can't stop...
What's different now?
Him saying that, you know, I don't know. I mean, I had to check my blood pressure, man. I was going like, are you serious? And after watching them play as well as we did that first half, I mean, that was the best defense I've seen Miami play. Those comments, I'm almost praying that those comments are not real. That Howard just made it up. Because they're devastating. I mean, how do you go to the eighth game of the season and now decide, well, we're going to do what, you know, that stuff we did last year, that we became one of the top 10 defenses? Let's try that again. Scott, come on.
Yeah.
He had to have made that up, right? He had to have made that up. He had to have, there's no way this is real. If this is real, fire them all right now.
I didn't, I mean, there were zero blitzes last year. Remember those? They did cover zero, but that totally failed.
That failed.
So, you know.
Well, year before it failed too,
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, big time.
Right. Huge failure on the cover zero. But, I don't know. I mean, results speak volumes, and they have a high-powered offense, and for the first half, we shut it out.
We shut them out, and we should have been leading.
And I applaud the players on the team for stepping up and making that effort.
No, like
on a 1-6 team, now 1-7.
Like we said at the end of last podcast with Mike and Lou there, that they haven't given up. And I think they showed it again. In the second half, you can sort of say we looked a little bit beat in there, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But that could be that, like you said before, when we were talking privately about it, could be that the they're tired, man. They're tired of being out there exposed. Now, time of possession in this game.
Speaking of tired, the second half, they looked tired.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when the offense came out and did a whole bunch of three and outs in a row, that's certainly part of it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking here at the time of possession. You know, something was dead even, man. They had the ball 30 minutes, 47 seconds. We had it 29-13.
I think we were winning the time of possession in the first half.
Yeah, and total yards, they were 351. If you hold Buffalo to 351, man, you did a great job. You did a great job. 66 plays. We did 64. They did 66. The numbers are very even. They're very even numbers. The one number that did jump out at me, which again goes back, I think, to the discipline. Miami used to win always the penalty. The least penalties, right?
Mm.
We got penalized 9 times.
Yeah, that hasn't held up this year.
It hasn't held up. And I heard that Flo got rid of that wall of shame, and that's what he was doing in the first year. He needs to bring that back. Have the people sprint to it, touch it, go pray in front of it. I don't know what they're going to do. Do something, man, because this team is pathetic, the amount of penalties. And that's usually...
something new.
That's a big advantage. Yeah, well...
Don't keep going back to the same thing and expecting a different result.
Yeah, that's really bad. The penalties was really, really, really bad. I mean, that it's been always the same. It's almost double digits.
Speaking of penalizing...
Oh, yeah.
Prior to the game, we saw that Williams and Redwine, one obviously more impactful than the other, did not travel to Buffalo with the team for disciplinary reasons.
Sounds to me like they both did something together.
Maybe.
It's just a weird combination. But the thing is that Preston Williams...
How serious does something have to be before you take away their potential contribution to a win or loss?
Especially how bad our receiving corps has been or has injured us has been. Now you have
a
chance.
We don't know what it was. Flo certainly hasn't said.
And he'll never say it.
Yeah.
Which is, I kind of like that. I mean, they keep those things in-house. But it was bad. Our receiving corps that we had, Parker had a hell of a game. But having
he had a hell of
big,
a first half.
Well, you know, it's typical. I mean, look, okay, to finish on Williams and Redwine. Whatever they did, obviously got punished. And I'm not saying throw him off the team. But, boy, it sure makes you wonder what kind of a person we have back there. And you know, how committed they are to the success of the Dolphins.
Well, Williams hasn't been impressive at any moment during
the
season.
Well, he's never
so
on the
far,
field.
So, right.
Okay, he could be impressive playing video games or something. But
yeah, and
definitely.
And when he was, I saw him drop some balls. And
he dropped balls again. Yeah. Well, he did. That was always the thing with him.
It was.
He would drop balls.
Yeah, he looked great in preseason. And then when the lights went on, he would drop balls. Not quite like Grant. Anyways, that part of it's over. But yeah, so highlights from the game. Right. Let me mention this because I was on it last year. One of the things I didn't like about our one offensive coordinator last year, who's clearly better than what we have this year, even though I didn't like him.
Isn't that funny?
Right. Mm-hmm. Was the first play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we run the first play of the game the same every single time?
Because one day we're going to break one of those for 75 yards for a touchdown.
Oh my gosh. I know it's sarcasm, but at the same time, I'm like, does somebody really believe that?
No, but
what was the result of running up the middle on the first play of the game?
We got a yard.
Well, I wrote zero gain.
Get a
yard?
I see a yard on both of my.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew that. We already knew, but it was just a head scratcher to see Sanders miss a chip shot like
that was weird
to open the game. Yeah, I mean the one person that I would consider to be one of the most reliable people on the whole team.
Well, that was one of my worst predictions that he was going to be breaking the 170 mark.
That's not going to be close.
Sanders is not only not getting the opportunities, he's missing them. And when he's not being used to try to fake people out. With jumping outside, he's missing a cheap shot, 36-yarder. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. And then the other rookie comes out and boots one 57 yards to show him up. It was kind of an in-your-face between kickers.
Yeah, that's
hey, you just missed that 36? Watch this, 57. Boom. Good.
Like nothing.
Yeah.
The fact that they even tried it shows you that their confidence in the kicker and in their defense. And that's it. Yeah.
So we continued the pattern. I guess we understand some of why we do this, but it's still frustrating to see when you're in long yardage situations and you're still only throwing 2 or 3 yards down the field.
Well, the first possession, we did throw it a little bit down the field when we hit Parker for 23 yards to the 50-yard line.
So I would have guessed that Hunt would have had the lowest rating, you know, pass blocker rating on the team PFF because of the one blatantly obvious head-scratching miss of a block that he made with Oliver lined up right in front of him and nobody else within 5 yards. Well, he basically let Oliver run straight by him, straight to Tua.
I have a guess on that. My guess
was he staring at a linebacker or a safety?
My guess is that he was communicating with our friend Davis, the tackle.
Yeah, I understand. And the team captain,
and that they miscommunicated on that. And that is, to me, coaching. Again, our offensive line coach is, you know, a guy that college. And I think that's part of the problem, because when you look at his rating, he rated in at 80 for his pass blocking. And that's the highest of any Dolphin, par none.
What was the shock to me.
Yeah, the second one in line was Austin Jackson with 63.7. This is Pro Football Focus. Then came our center. Ryder came in with 62.2. Eichenberg at 59.1. And our friend Jesse, that's why I think it was his fault, came in at 44.3.
Oh, that's just painful.
So the bottom two is Gaskin at 30.6 and Gasecki at 21.1.
Oh, Gaskin actually beat Gasecki this week.
And it's horrific, the blocking there. But that's why I think that it wasn't Hunt's fault. We originally thought it was, but when I saw this grade, I have a feeling that it. And I looked at it again, and Hunt looked at Davis like, "What the hell just happened?" Bad Hunt.
Still in the first half, we had one possession that was. It looked like it was just one zone run after another.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Produced yardage during that drive. So, you know, I was a little surprised, but I can't be totally. I mean, you can't be totally surprised when you're not pass blocking successfully. You've got to force the defense to respect the run a little bit before teeing off on your quarterback. But, you know, in this drive, you know, we had some success and we moved the ball down the field and then
missed a field goal. That's the one you're at, right?
No, I was skipping forward. Sorry.
Oh, to which
that.
One? When we made the field goal?
To the quote unquote pathetic, idiotic, moronic play call.
Well,
on third and short.
Oh, yeah.
Out
of the shotgun. And we run the ball again for basically negative 2 yards.
When does that work?
Well, it didn't work very well because we were a 3rd and 2 and we ended up
fourth and four. Yeah. I honestly, when does that work? Especially against a defense like the Bills.
And right up the middle. And it didn't work the week before. It didn't work the week before. It didn't work the week before. Why do we think it's going to work all of a sudden? The only time it did work was when we did it against the Raiders and Brown busted it for a touchdown. But come on, man. I mean, why don't they trust Tua? It just doesn't appear that this offense, you know, in this game, we did that fourth down play later on in the second half. I don't know if you want to skip to it or I just want to touch on it real quick. That play was great and hit Gasecki. That's the longest passing play of Tua's career.
Yeah.
40 yards.
As a Dolphin. Yeah.
And that's really, I mean, when we looked at Tua, we're like, this guy's got a great long ball. He throws a beautiful long ball. We have never seen it. Cause and like you said earlier, what was it that Tua said? I throw the passes that the coaches want me to.
Yeah. Something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're restricting him. You know?
Yeah, they're not calling the shots. You know, during the co-podcast, I highlighted the perfect example while we're sitting there and Pro Player Park, and the first play of the game, we come out and there's a single high safety. I don't want to repeat it.
Yeah.
But that was like the perfect opportunity. Everyone on the field knew that we were going to run the ball up the middle. And so what a shocker would that have been if Waddle took off in a streak down the sideline and you know, the safety got looked off or stared into immobility a little bit first. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, look,
I used to say this is a circumstance where you do play action. Right?
That'd be nice.
You fake the handoff and then throw the long ball. But our line is so bad that extra half a second for running play action puts it at risk for, you know, getting...
For Tua's health.
Yes. So
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Use your eyeballs as a fraction of a second to look the safety off before you take that shot.
Scott, it comes down. It comes down to coaching. I mean, I was watching the Jets yesterday at night. I got to see my new fantasy wonder guy, Cooper Rush. I was playing. I'm playing you in fantasy. I haven't beat you yet, but I think I am going to. But
well, if Kelsey goes crazy tonight and Williams does not, I can still win. Otherwise.
Yeah, I'm up by 8 points.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway, enough of that. But when I looked at these two guys and I watch the Jets and I see this guy come in that's never played a down in his life, and I watch what the Jets did with him. If that was us, we would have him in bubble wrap. It would be wide receiver screen to the left, wide receiver screen to the right, run down the middle with Gaskin, run down the middle with Alvin. It would be vanilla upon vanilla offense.
Yeah, because we're already vanilla.
Basically basic offense, right? That's all we are right now. We're not very innovative. Imagine if that would have been. The Jets took their wheels off. They made this kid play. He's the first guy to break 400 in New York since Vinny Testaverde. What's that, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, something that Donalds couldn't do, something that Mark Sanchez couldn't do, this kid did in one game. And it's because of the coaching staff. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Peyton Manning, but I'm saying touche to the Jets coaching staff. That pushed them ahead of us. We're now the worst team in our division. And it's because these guys are coaching aggressive. These guys have nothing. They're coaching the way Flo was coaching, the last 2 years. That if we felt like the Dolphins were going to do anything creative to win, our special team was making great plays. Everything was, we were being innovative on that. I don't know. That's been gone out the window, and our coaching is now become our detriment.
Yeah.
As we're going to show it
Speaking of which, I'll call out a couple highlights. I liked out of the first half. That Jones prevented a touchdown on a great knockdown on a bomb. That was a spectacular play on Jones's part. And Ogba ended that drive. Even though he didn't get the sack, he hit Allen as Allen released. And, the ball wobbled and didn't get to the receiver. Mm-hmm. And so that was a great effort to see. The illegal shift happened in the drive before our main drive. We were talking about that a little bit earlier, how we had some problems with motion and players getting lined up, which leads to the final drive before the end of the half, where
we
should have gone into the half to
winning,
yeah,
leading. Two field goals.
Exactly. And so I would like to introduce our new segment, which we will run every week till the end of this season. So we select three plays that are all it may not even be a play from the game. It may also be something off the field. But boneheaded examples, circus examples. Alex and I didn't use the word clown necessarily last week when we, did our overview with the Fin Fans. But certainly both of us are of the opinion that we're managed by clowns and we're coached by clowns at this point. Because every week we see just plays that are either called in horrible situations or executed so badly that they haven't been practiced enough. Whatever, it's just really boneheaded things, and this is yet another one of the worst boneheaded plays. You want to start with the one that won and then talk about the runners up?
No, let me give you the two runner up.
Okay.
The first one is Williams and Redwine. For being inactive, not allowed to travel with the team for some whatever.
It seems like you could deal with that a different way.
It's just amazing.
Take away the potential opportunity for them to contribute.
It's just how juvenile of a, what a dumb mistake they must have made. Yeah. It's showing lack of focus, and that doesn't happen in good teams. It just doesn't.
I'll take the next one. Let me take the next one. Because I woke up writing this one in my head. I thought about it last night and had it all prepared and said, you know, no one else is going to have this take. And then I saw somebody quoting Jason Taylor about having this take already. So the game is over. We have the ball, and in the situation where you've got no chance to win, whatever, just a few seconds left, no timeouts, we throw a screen pass to Gaskin behind the line of scrimmage, and he gets blown up. Now, in every other game and in every other situation, if I'm coaching it or if Don Shula is coaching it or any, you know, knowledgeable, respectful, whatever person, they're either just going to hand the ball off to run up the middle to eat the clock, right? Or they're going to take a knee.
Yeah, get out of there.
Get out of there.
Yeah, you know? There's no football play that you can score, whatever we need.
With three scores.
17, 18 points,
right.
Whatever it was.
Yeah. So why are you putting players at risk by calling something absolutely asinine, retarded? Put whatever insult you want to put on it, clown show. So... Mm-hmm. Terrible. We have firing offenses put on the field every week, it seems like. Well, you can introduce the winning.
Well, this is the winner, and it actually, as it was unfolding, it had that element of Keystone Cops, you know, like what you know it was going to make one of those NFL films, the Follies, the. You know, this is the worst play. This team is so bad they can't snap the ball. Well, it was, 27 seconds left in the first half. We have the ball at the 12-yard line. We have one timeout left. And Gesicki is going nuts because everybody is lined up incorrectly. Waddle is, and the whole confusion. He didn't want to get an illegal motion. Because he had to go in motion, obviously. Mm-hmm. Finally, they do get settled, and he does go in motion. And, of course, the ball is snapped, hits him. It's fumbled, recovered by Buffalo. End of the game. End of the half, but I thought, more importantly, end of the game. Because we knew, every Dolphin fan, that just symbolized our season.
Our finding a way to lose.
Our game. And again, you know, just a total... You know, clown.
Minimum, we should have gone into the half up 6-3.
Dolphin clown act.
Ideally, we would have gone up 10-3.
The big top just came up, and that's what happened. And that play just symbolized everything. I mean, to me, the game was over, and we were tied.
So it's a kind of double whammy coaching. One, for not having people in the right place, understanding what they're going to run, right? Two, leadership on Tua.
Big time on Tua.
For not getting people in alignment quicker.
Or not calling the damn timeout. You had a timeout left, 27 seconds at the 12-yard line. Scott.
So two people can call timeout, right? Mm-hmm.
The quarterback.
Quarterback and the head coach.
And the head coach.
When Flo, who's supposed to be managing the game, looks up, sees this happening, sees where the play clock is, he could have stepped on the field.
He sees this clown show going on. He should be saying, please,
timeout. We had timeout.
Well, Scott, let me ask you this. Let's talk about game management again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sure he wants to save the timeout, right? He wanted to. But he's seeing things unfolding and going bad. There's 27 seconds, man.
Tight end managing the situation?
No, you could even complete a pass and kill the... I mean, there's time left on the clock. Mm-hmm. Why on earth didn't they just call the timeout? And you could run your play.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. There's 27 seconds at the 12-yard line of Buffalo. There was so much time left. And that play just, you know, just symbolized everything. The whole season wrapped up right there, man. Mm-hmm. Right there. And when that happened, I think all of us were like, I was demoralized.
Yeah.
Every Dolphin fan just hanging their heads going,
throwing stuff through the TV, spilling their beer.
Yeah.
You know, putting their hands up, like, what, you know, behind their head or what is it you said during the last podcast? I couldn't find the bag to put over my head fast enough.
Yeah,
laughing at that one.
I mean, it was, I forget the bag, man. I was just comatose. I just sat there on my couch looking at the TV.
Numb.
Going like, what the hell just happened?
Numb. Numb. So that's our winner.
Uncomfortably numb.
Yep. So coming out of the half.
Oh, this was great. We started right where we left off, man. The team was in total disarray again.
Yeah.
It was
my
hysterical.
Exact note is Miami ends the half confused on offense and comes out in the second half still confused.
Again, coaching, baby. I mean, it's
players
unreal.
Don't know where to line up or go
players,
into motion.
Players were like, what the hell's going? Gasecki is going nuts again. It just, it was like the Keystone Cups, and we could have given two winners almost on that. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So it was a bunch of three and outs, you know. My defense was still balling out at this point. I mean, you know, Bills got the ball, and we forced them to three and out, frequently applying pressure. Not quite getting to him, not taking him down, but at least getting in his face, getting him off his game to this point.
No, it did a good job. The defense balled out, but our offense became this three and out thing, you know, with Tua doing a 1 yard pass, negative 1 yard to Gaskin, another incomplete pass to Waddle, which was probably for another yard. Again, another incomplete pass to Waddle. But Waddle was targeted 12 times, 4 completions for 29 yards. Wow.
Unreal.
I mean, it's bad. Our offense
is bad.
It's
just so awful. Is there something we just don't know? Like he is incapable of running routes that are more than 5 yards?
Yeah, it seems like our offensive coach.
What the hell?
Our coordinators don't believe that.
I know it's about Tua having to get rid of the ball really fast. I know that that's what it's about because our line is bad. But still, there's got to be, you know, until we say F it in the middle of the fourth quarter and start slinging the ball, which is basically what happened again. Got it down behind and finally starting to throw downfield. But, you know, it's just pressure on Tua every play. I mean, you know, there's this whole war. If I sometimes get so irritated by the fans on Twitter going back and forth. Some people are just loyal to Tua to a fault, and other people are calling them names, the Tua Stan name. Oh, you're defending Tua no matter what. And the truth is somewhere in the middle. You know, the kid is not, he's a good kid, and we've talked about him over and over and over and over and over. You know, it's pretty obvious that Herbert was the right pick to make. He's got the physical attributes, everything.
Even though he sucked this weekend again.
Right, he did.
New England has his number. If he was in our division, he'll be in last place big time.
Yeah.
Well, like we are, but at least Tua beat New England twice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the truth is
in the middle.
He hasn't.
You guys
done
don't
it.
Have to be at war with each other. You know, he doesn't deserve absolute loyalty, and he's not awful. He's just not being provided an opportunity to even prove that he can be successful. And
you know, my take on Tua is that, obviously if he gets the right personnel around him, he should be successful.
It still hasn't changed.
But I do question his leadership. I questioned it last year. I told you this before.
Yep.
I've questioned him. And the fact that he's not the one directing everybody.
There are more signs coming out.
That's scary.
There are more signs on the negative
That's a troublesome situation with Tua.
Yeah.
But
I always said I was worried about his, you know, quickness of thinking, decision making, you know, based on some of his test scores and his overall intelligence. And, you know, is the offense so vanilla because of Tua?
Because of
our terrible offensive line.
Okay.
Many problems, it's hard to pinpoint anything.
When we were down 17-3 and Tua goes on this drive, okay, that was an 11-play, 75-yard drive, 3 minutes and 44 seconds. Tua lit it up, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see that whole thing. That is Tua at his best. Why don't we run more no huddles and just go on this urgency thing? We don't do it, man. We go in there and we're like, you know, we know what it is. It's this offense, this run the ball.
Even no huddle, just maybe a different pace.
But that's what we do. When we run a fast pace, every single time with Tua, it seems to be successful.
Yeah.
And these guys weren't playing all of a sudden prevent defense. They weren't. They were still going now. Now it's 17-11. We're in the game. We're 100% in the game. But as typical, our defense, you know, does hold, but it goes to 20-11, right? Then after that, we get the ball and we throw the interception. In essence, the game is over. There's a 1:08 left.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a bone to pick with Buffalo, with their entire organization, and with our organization for being a bunch of wimps and not really stressing. I mean, Flo was just asked this in the press conference. He's like, well, it's our jobs to stop them.
Listen, and we didn't stop them.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
What a BS answer, too.
I mean, that's all
show,
true.
Show an first, ounce of emotion. Get an angry face on or something.
I mean, if this was the first quarter, yes. Third quarter, yes. But with a minute left.
The game's
left,
over.
Okay, let's do the math. The game was 20-11. It takes two scores.
Yeah.
Miami could score. We could score a touchdown and do a two-point conversion or not do a two-point conversion. I mean, who cares at this point? You probably don't do it if you're smart, but whatever. So that would be then we would cut it to 2 points. It's still not. You need to get the ball back again. And you know how many timeouts we had?
Yeah.
Zero.
You know, I didn't like it that they went for a touchdown and got it, right? Don't like it. Feels like rubbing salt in the wound. However, what got really put my blood pressure up was calling for a two-point conversion.
You know what it is? It's a scumbag move.
It's insult to injury.
It's a scumbag move.
Yep.
It is by far one of the most unsportsmanlike behavior I've ever seen. The score was 26-11.
Most teams that are well-coached and well-managed take a knee and walk away with the win.
Let me ask you this. The score was 26-11.
Unless it's coached by somebody named Harbaugh.
Scott, 26-11. What could the Dolphins have done to win this game with a minute left and no timeouts?
Nothing.
Even if we scored a touchdown and got a two-point conversion, it would be 19-26.
That's some kind of a miracle, yeah.
They went for two, which made no sense at all except one thing, rubbing it in.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they didn't get it. And in a way, I never wish for an injury. And, you know, he is my fantasy quarterback, but I would have loved for him to get his bell rung.
Yeah.
I mean, if a Dolphin guy had any pride and just freaking went head-to-head against him, I hate to say this, guys. I don't advocate this, but damn, they deserve it. They deserve it.
Yeah.
That was a low-life play.
Yep.
No need at all to do it.
Even he releases the ball, you just run in there and you flatten him and you land on him with all your body weight and take the penalty.
Well, let me ask you this. What would the Dolphins have done if he took a knee and the score was 22-11? There's nothing we could do to stop the clock. It's over. Game's over.
I know. That's my point. Exactly.
Why? So really, this whole thing has come down to Buffalo has proven that they're classless.
Yep.
And we are... I mean, I don't care what we say behind closed doors, but we're showing that we're spineless as a team. We're spineless. Nobody, I didn't hear one Dolphin complain about it. Have you?
No. Yeah. I think there's a bit of a muzzle on the actual players.
Well, maybe that's why everybody's dying to get away from Flo. And, you know, because I think players have a right to say, man, that sucked. That was low life.
Yeah, and I'm going to remember that.
And I'm going to remember that.
Yeah.
It'll be nice, but I don't think they will because
they
don't talk about it. You can't remember stuff if people never talk about it, Scott. So I don't believe that this is a big deal to the Dolphins. It's a big deal to
honestly,
us fans.
Honestly, I mean, if I was a coach, I'm so old school that next year when we play them again, I'm showing that.
I have the
video of it, and I'm showing it to them as an inspiration.
Oh man,
just
I have
prior
that. I have that thing on a loop, man.
Yeah,
I just keep looping it. God, we're going to see this again. Yeah, so you guys remember what they think of you.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's that.
Get
that,
mad, that play
what,
hard.
What we used to call billboard material.
Right,
there used to be billboards, and you put those things.
I don't think those exist anymore.
No, they don't, and especially these Dolphins. I don't know, man. I mean, I just don't understand how they couldn't be angrier that they. I was livid, but that's it, man. So Buffalo deserved a victory. They played better. They're
a better team.
They spanked
us. They're better coached. They're better GM'd. They're better run. They execute better. They're better in every way. So it's no surprise at all that they beat us. So let's move on.
Let's move on now.
We have Houston coming to town.
You know, it's
this is one of the games we looked at going to before we decided. Atlanta.
Thank God we didn't go to Houston. But anyway, we may have seen the victory. We've played these Houston Texan boys a total of 9 times. You know what the record is?
It's a losing record.
It's beyond losing.
I think we only beat them 1 time.
8-1.
That I can think of.
8-1.
I'm right. How about that? I did not look it up.
Pretty good.
I only remember one win against them. I remember when they were a brand new team.
And we lost to them.
Nobody. And they came to Miami.
In 2003.
Yeah, and we lost. And we lost. I was just absolutely
And then we
stunned.
Went to Houston three times and lost, and then we lost. Then we finally beat them in 2015. But we played him with Deshaun Watson in 2018. He beat us.
Yeah.
And he beat us good, too, 42-23.
A nice victory. Well, they're not going to have Deshaun Watson.
No, but they're gonna probably have Taylor
unless
back.
Something crazy happens by tomorrow, we're not going to have Deshaun Watson.
And hopefully nobody's going to have Deshaun Watson.
Right. Can you imagine the protests? Did we even mention that when we were talking about him as our subject matter last week? The protests that would happen if he was playing or if we signed him.
You know, it's very simple, and we should do. You know, we should look at the facts. All these any victim advocate group, anything about women's rights. I mean, they're going to be pissed off.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. He assaulted allegedly two women. That stuff has to be cleared. I mean, Watson is to me, watching Flo answer those questions is painful.
It is painful.
It's painful.
And you can see that he hides his facial expressions pretty good, but you can mm-hmm. still see it in his eyes.
No, he looks yeah. away. I saw yeah. he's trying to think. And yeah. it's really hard because at the end of the day, he has to hold the corporate line, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what he has to do. And he does a good job of it. But this game against Houston, what will happen if we lose this game? I'm not sure
anything
will happen.
Nothing's going to happen. I mean, we asked the same question before Jacksonville because they were the worst team in the NFL, and we went to London and lost to Jacksonville. So what? How can it be any worse than that? We just
by the way,
Houston's better than Jacksonville.
Houston beat Jacksonville.
Yeah, they are better than Jacksonville, even with their second or third whatever string quarterback they're currently on, they're still better. And which is weird because they were just so awful last year. Well, you know, then again, so is Jacksonville. So,
well, if you look at the Chicago Bears, are still the worst team. Funny enough, that's interesting. I thought with the Bears output, we actually surpassed them. But this is showing us with eight games. Yep. Well, Houston. This is this is going to be exciting for everybody who watched this. Miami has had 2,415 yards for the season. Houston, 2,249. What do you think is going to happen closing with our game? Do you think we're going to win this week?
No. I'm never picking us to win the rest of this season. There's no. I just make the rule for yourself. No. You got to put your own money out there. You know, even with points or without points or whatever. We should win this game. We should win this game. We should win this game. But I'm in the mode now where I'm just like, we just keep finding a way to lose. And if this bolsters Ross's, you know, moving that snail into action to fire the people that we want gone, which is basically everybody, then, you know, then we can still have the potential to live to see success sometime in our future. The longer we hang on to the people that we have now, the longer we're going to suffer.
Yeah, we're in the bottom of the barrel. You know, our defense is the worst ranked defense in football.
Stunning. Absolutely stunning.
We have given up 3,255 yards.
There is no way I would have... What circumstance? Even if we'd lost Howard in the offseason, I still wouldn't have thought that possible.
No, I mean, we are by far the worst defense in the NFL. Houston's got a better defense than us, and we're also ranked as one of the worst offenses in the NFL.
Right. So
basically, it's
scraping the bottom of the barrel.
It's a really difficult situation.
That's 100% on Chris Greer. He has to go.
He's got to go, and our coaching doesn't seem to be much better.
Coaching is not helping.
So
coaching is terrible.
So what do I think? You know what I think? I think Taylor's going to come back. He's gonna cut us up in pieces. They're going to move the ball on us. They're going to score on us. They're going to play emotional because Houston has been playing hard. I mean, they came back on the Rams, but they're less talented than we are.
I think so too.
If we don't
if you
win
look at
this
their
game,
roster overall,
I'm not saying we're going to win.
Like I said, we should win. On paper, you look at things and you should.
But Scott,
win.
the problem.
But
I'm
if
seeing...
you watch any of those games this year, or all of them, like us, I just think we're going to find a way to lose again.
I think it'll be the complete collapse if we lose. I think he'll lose the team at that point.
Players will start quitting?
I think players will start quitting, and people just thinking, you know, it's just the end. That'll be you can't lose against a team like Houston and all the. I mean, this is going to be the circus. I mean, that circus thing that we're doing is going to get a lot worse if that happens, because I could see all kinds of crazy stuff happening.
Yeah.
No, I think we're going to pull this victory off, but I think it's going to be closer than people think it is. I mean, the line right now is between 6.5 and 7.
I know.
We're favorite finally. In a game, because we were dogs to Atlanta, and rightfully so.
I don't know how we're such big dogs to Houston.
No, we're not dogs. We're actually favorite. They're
yeah,
the dogs.
Right, yes.
Yeah, they're the dogs.
I can't speak.
That's okay. They're the dogs, and they deserve to be, because they really are a bad team.
I deserve to be fired.
But, you know, if you look at that team, you know, with a third-string quarterback, I mean, it's amazing that we even won a game. I think they won the first game of the year. Was that what they did? They beat Jacksonville?
When they played Jacksonville, they beat Jacksonville. I don't remember.
First game of the year, the Texans got 37 points to 21. Taylor was playing that game.
Taylor got
hurt the second game of the season, and their collapse has gone ever since. They scored 21 points, and they went to 9-0, you know.
Yeah.
The collapse.
Yeah.
5 points, 3 points.
Yeah. So, this should be an easy win for us.
We're going to win. I think we're going to put this one behind us. After that, it gets a lot worse. Then we go Ravens, and it's going to be a tough season, you know, all the way through.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know, Scotty. We got to hang in there. Let's hope the Dolphins do turn this thing around, and we can look forward to getting a new coaching staff here soon and a new GM.
New.
And by the way, we got to touch this before we close up. Any trades before the end? I mean, there was a blockbuster trade done today. Oh yeah, Von Miller. Von Miller got traded to the Rams for two 2022 draft picks. I think it was a second
rounder.
Third. Yeah.
Yeah. It is my hope that Mr. Stephen Ross has put a moratorium or an approval process on any trades, because the plan is already in action to replace the front office. Oh. And so you don't want the current front office damaging the future front office, which isn't to say that if something makes sense, you don't pull the trigger. In the end, no, I don't think we're going to do any trades.
I think if there is a trade, it'll be Parker. Because he's very easily the highest asset to be traded.
If people are out there and they're offering, you know, something crazy for it,
I think there's a team. If there's a team called Atlanta that makes a lot of sense for them to pull this trigger. So if I'm looking at Atlanta. But that's about it.
Yeah. Well, I just even if we got a gold mine in picks for him, which is not going to happen.
No, probably
this front office has already proven that they can't make a pick to save their family's lives.
Yeah.
So I don't want the picks made by Greer or anybody working for Greer. So
yeah, let's hope we escape this period, and we're less than 24 hours away.
Yep. So. All right.
So
we do want the team to win. We love our Dolphins, and with that said, let's give it a go, Dolphins. 3-2-1
Go Dolphins. Dolphins.
Two Old Dolphins podcast is proud to be a member of the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. In addition to our website at twooldolfans.com, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, we can also be found at dolphinstalk.com. You can reach out to us through our website and email address that's there, or find us on Twitter, where we're very active. We have an Instagram account that we post to occasionally, and a Facebook page. Our podcast contains the music of two bands. We'd like to thank the original Tartanic drum and bagpipe champions. You can find their music and more at tartanic.net. A huge shout out to Rick DeJesus and the boys of Adelita's Way. Can't thank them enough for allowing us to use their kick-ass rock in our podcast. You can find them everywhere, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Spotify. And make sure to catch them when they're touring because they are the best.
Thank you for listening to Two Old Doll Fans. Join us next week for more news, analysis, and old guy stories. Good night.
Go Dolphins!